All right. Good morning. I'll call the meeting to order. It's Commissioner Brad Holton, President is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 10:30 agenda item. It's for fiscal year 2025 budget workshop for Valley Regional Transit. So, good morning, guests.
Thank you. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Take it away. Yep.
So, I think you all know me, Elaine Clegg. I'm the CEO of Valley Regional Transit, and of course, Kate, who used to work here, so I think most of you know her. And she's our principal planner now at VRT. Has been a really great help, especially in Canyon County, and in both understanding and helping us get better data. So hopefully today, we'll be able to answer more questions than I was able to last year. I think we've really dug in and tried to get a lot more detailed information for you. So today we have a budget request. Before we do the budget request itself, we'd like to do an overview of the transportation services in Canyon County, the funding cost of those and the cost per service, cost per ride, and then talk about the budget request itself. So in Canyon County, we have currently we have four fixed routes. As of Monday, we'll have three. So we're combining the 43 into both the 40 and the 42 for what we think will be better service overall. We'll go over each of these in detail. And then the 45 is a opportunity for folks to get into downtown Boise from a park and ride, as well as get to College of Western Idaho. There's an on-demand service in primarily within Caldwell and Nampa, and then specialized services that we'll talk about. Wanted to make sure, I mean, you obviously all understand that your constituent base is not just the constituents outside of city limits, but all of the ones inside. And so the services we provide serve both, but we think it's important to note that a lot of your facilities are inside those cities, and a lot of the services we provide access to those. As I said, on Monday, we will start our new, what's called the Better Bus Initiative, and we've redesigned routes. And what you see up here is also an example of our redesigned brochures. We've worked really hard with the public, and everyone we've talked to tells us that these are a lot easier to read, a lot easier to use. We think it's going to make it more convenient for people to use the bus. So the Route 40 last year had 232,000 passenger miles, 14,503 boardings. That's 58 boardings per day, and ridership was up 30% on that route. As I noted, we've consolidated it with the Route 43, which used to be just an express route from downtown Caldwell to downtown Boise. The ridership on that had declined quite a bit, and so we're using those service hours to make the 40 and the 42 better service. So it's streamlined now and focused a bit for efficiency, and the projections that we have is, as you see, the ridership was up a lot last year. We think it will be up another 15 to 20 percentage points this next year as a result of the changes. The Route 42 now goes into downtown Nampa. We're really excited about this route because it's going to serve hourly all day between downtown Boise, downtown Meridian, downtown Nampa, and Happy Day Transit Center. The reroute into downtown Nampa, we think, is going to take a fair amount of pressure off the on-demand system, which we'll talk about in a moment. And that then frees up seats in that on-demand system to better serve the folks who don't have access to walking to a bus stop, such as on the Boulevard. Ridership was already up 24% last year. We had 24,000 boardings and 95 a day. Again, we predict that ridership on this one is going to be up quite a bit as a result of the all-day hourly service between all these really important destinations, which hasn't happened in a while. The Route 45 starts in at the Boise State campus, comes through downtown Boise, goes through downtown Meridian, and ends at the College of Western Idaho campus. We have a park and ride there, so people on the eastern side of Canyon County can go there, get on this bus, and get to downtown. We know that this one and the 42 have been used extensively by college students, both at the College of Western Idaho and Boise State University, so that folks from Canyon County have access, who may not have access to good transportation, can still take advantage of those educational services that we have. This one was consolidated with the Route 30. They both still exist, but instead of running parallel half a mile apart, they now run on the same route. And so it went from 1 hour service to half hour service during peak hour by doing those every other hour. And again, we think that efficiency is going to really increase the ridership on this route. I might add that with all the ridership being up, last year we did exceed ridership pre-pandemic last year, and we're confident that by the end of 2025, we're going to be up another 20% above that. The Route 150 is the on-demand service. The way this works is that you get a spot-to-spot ride. It's not quite door-to-door, but there are identified stops around both Nampa and Caldwell, and in the parts of the county that are within the on-demand area that are outside of those. And you are asked to walk to that stop, and the on-demand system will take you to another stop, which hopefully, the design is that it would be near your destination. Last year, we had 30,000 boardings, 30,000 plus, 120 a day. During the first part of this year, we were able to add 10 hours more of service to this route for a bit as a pilot to see if in fact what we observed was that there were not enough seats available on this service. And I think that proved out to be true. During that time, we had an 11% increase in ridership and a 70% decline in seats unavailable. So what happens is you call and you say, I need a ride from here to here. And they say, well, we can't pick you up in the next 20 minutes, but we can pick you up in an hour. So that 20-minute one is a seat unavailable until we can get to them. So that 70% decline in the seats unavailable really did, in fact, show that there's more demand on this system than we're able to serve right now. It's not necessarily that we don't have enough buses. Four buses is probably enough for an on-demand system in this area, but it's so big with this population. But because the population is somewhat spread out, even though it's both cities, the area it has to serve is a little bit too big, we think, for those four buses to efficiently cover well. So we're looking for solutions to that. One of those solutions is a service that we started last year. We'll talk about Access first. Access is the service that is available to people with disabilities who are within 3/4 of a mile of a fixed route service. And if they are, then they will be taken door to door within that fixed route area to whatever their destination may be. We had almost 3,000 boardings on the Access system last year, about 8 a day. The last half of the year, it almost doubled. So early in the year, it was more about 6 a day, and late in the year, it was almost 12 a day. With the changes in the size of the Access system because of the changes in the fixed route, We actually expect that to decline again, but there's a good service that we think will replace it, and that's this next one. So previously we funded separately, or we were able to match separately a bunch of separate transportation services, primarily provided by senior citizen centers and also by some specialty services such as Harvest and SHIP. In the Napa area, Napa-Caldwell area, many of those rides were and still are provided by Metro Community Services. But the weakness of the old system was that there were 12 different service areas and 5 different zones to book rides, and it was difficult to book rides between service areas and between zones. So we combined this all into one big service area. As I said, Metro still providing a lot of rides in the Napa-Caldwell area, and Valley Regional Transit directly took over operation of the rest of the services except for the Parma Senior Center, the Melba Senior Center, the Cunha Senior Center, which are outlying. And we're able to provide rides anywhere within that service area, between counties, between cities, north to south, east to west. And it's been a little bumpy to get started. A couple of things have happened. We've discovered that a lot of people were getting rides on this system that should have been given rides on the access system. And by law, we're required to put them on access if they're eligible for that. So we've had to move some riders to the access system, which caused a bit of a decline in ridership, not overall, but on this system. And then Metro had a couple of buses out of service for a bit, and so they were unavailable. So rides so far, so we started this in January, I wish I could say rides are up. They're not. They're down about 10%. But the last 2 months, now that we've got all of those bugs worked out, have seen an increase in ridership, and we're still confident that this service is going to provide more rides than the old service, simply because we can pick someone up in Parma and take them all the way to East Boise, and previously that wasn't possible for someone who lived in Parma. These rides are available to older adults, anyone over 62, and persons with disabilities. They have to get qualified onto the system and signed up. But once they are, they can call and book a ride in advance. They can book regular rides, and then they can also do on-demand rides the day of. So as I said, Metro is a partner in this. They're providing the rides right now in Napa and Caldwell. We're working with AAA to be able to have both us and Metro be able to provide rides across both counties rather than within these zones. And we think that'll happen next year. But even without that, the trip availability is a lot higher on this service than it was on the old services that were, 12 different phone numbers to call and various service areas that didn't overlap and you couldn't move in between. So last year, there were 11,000 rides in the Metro part of this service. As I said, this year we're a little bit down right now, but I just looked at the April numbers and they're back up exactly where we expected them to be. And we're excited to look at May because we think they'll be even higher. VRT also offers some specialty services that kind of fill in those gaps, those niches in the system where people might be able to take a job, but they can't get there and they don't have transportation. So that's what this Lyft Late Night is designed to do. If you can get there by bus or get home by bus on a regular service that's already scheduled, and you fit the income category and are eligible, then you can take the other trip on a Lyft for only a $3 fare, depending on the length of it, can be a little bit more. but for many people, it's the only way they can go ahead and take a job that they otherwise might not be able to get to. So it covers a lot of jobs. Last year, we didn't do a very good job marketing it, I'll be honest. We only had 450 boardings. We, with the redesign of the system, we've expanded the area, so all that service area in Meridian along Overland is now eligible for it. That previously was not, and we've expanded our outreach to ensure that people who know they are eligible can try to sign up. So again, not a lot of rides last year, but we're excited about this service because we think it fills a niche that otherwise some folks wouldn't be able to take particular jobs. Treasure Valley Transit is a service that also serves Canyon County. They primarily serve non-emergency medical rides that are Medicaid eligible. They particularly serve rides that are harder to serve. So there's a couple of other non-emergency Medicaid eligible providers. Many of them pick up people who are easy to pick up, don't have a wheelchair, don't have a disability. Treasure Valley Transit really focuses on those rides that are more difficult. And they do really great work. They also provide the kinds of rides that we talked about in Beyond Access outside of our service area. They're a sub-recipient of ours, and so we provide them a fair amount of funding. The chart you see on this, in addition to the Medicaid rides, they also will provide rides for fares, and these are typically people on dialysis or some other service who need to be able to get to that service but are not Medicaid eligible. So TBT will pick them up and take them for whatever the fare is, depending on the mileage of that ride. Rides to Wellness is a partnership we have with many of the healthcare services, and those healthcare services you can see marked on here can book a ride on Rides to Wellness for someone who needs to get to a medical appointment who is not Medicaid eligible and otherwise might not be able to get there. So they're not an older adult, they're not disabled, they're not Medicaid eligible, but they still can't get to the appointment any other way. We were able to provide 1,200 rides last year. This service is actually almost over-subscribed at this point. The funding has not kept up with demand, and so we're working right now with healthcare providers to see if all of them can contribute a little bit more, but also to work with them to move as many of the rides that could be served on Beyond Access to that service as we can, because that service is a little more efficient than this one. This service is private sector providers that we contract with to provide these rides, and so the per ride rate is actually a little higher than ours. But it's an important service. Without it, there are people who would not make it to their medical appointments. So a little bit about who rides and why. We have a lot of residents traveling to work locations along the fixed routes that we talked about. As I mentioned, we have a lot of college students, both College of Western Idaho, Boise State, and Northwest Nazarene, as well as CWI. We have seniors who are not disabled and not traveling to a medical appointment outside an access service area. So that means you're not eligible for an access ride, you don't have a disability, but now with the new Beyond Access service, they can get to a lot more places than they could have previously. So we're really excited about that. A resident with a disability who's also not Medicaid eligible can ride the Rides to Wellness or also the on-demand system. A resident with a disability traveling within the access area, we would we are required to put on the access ride if it's available. And that ride is guaranteed. So the difference, one of the, you know, there's a lot of nuances. I'm learning these too. The difference between access and beyond access is that if you're access eligible and you're in an access area, we are required to give you that ride. It's guaranteed. You're going to get it. If you're not, the beyond access ride, we'll provide it if we have a bus available and a seat available. But if we're oversubscribed at the moment that you ask for that ride, we don't have to give it to you. Of course, we always want to. We're trying to find ways efficiently to do that. But it's just a nuance in how this system works. Of course, if you're eligible for Medicaid transportation and you're traveling to a medical appointment, TBT or another of the non-emergency medical providers would be a choice, but also the Beyond Access Service would be a choice. A senior or person with disability traveling outside of the fixed route or access for any reason can use the Beyond Access system, often in Canyon County provided by Metro Community Services. And the Nampa Senior Center, I put the question mark here because I think you all had a question last year, who provides those rides? Beyond Access and Metro Community Services are the services that provide rides for the Nampa Community Senior Center. And then residents on an income qualified residents who can get to or from work on a fixed route can use Lyft Late Night on those hours when the fixed route isn't available. A lot of information. I'm going to throw a little bit more at you, and then if you have any questions, would love to answer them. So on the fixed route, as I said, ridership is up overall by quite a bit. On the other services, not as much, but again, just a bit up overall. And we can dig into those numbers if you have any questions. I think to me this is maybe the one that hopefully gets your attention, because I think you guys get a pretty good deal on this. In 2023, overall, VRT, either with directly generated, which means fares, or federal revenue, spent $2.5 million, a little bit over $2.5 million on providing all of these various rides on all these various services. You as an organization, as an agency member, contributed $21,000 of that. And we got another almost $1 million in contributions from other members and other agencies. Nampa and Caldwell being the bulk of that for both the on-demand and the fixed route service that they see serving their communities. But Treasure Valley Transit also matches what we give them, the $240,000 that we give them, with local contributions. They get those from a variety of partners, including WITCO and others, as well as the Medicaid dollars that they're reimbursed. Metro is another big local match provider. Metro provided $127,000 and some in local match. And again, all of those together equaled about $1 million. We spent $2.5 million. Your contribution was actually pretty low. And
I just want to know, Elaine, your contribution was $50,000. The $21,000 reflected here is just for services.
Yeah.
The remainder of that is for general.
Yeah, and I thought that was another slide that showed
that.
Yeah. So I appreciate
just
it.
Just to clarify.
So the $21,000 is what you contributed to services. The $30,000 above that is for the regional overhead, which is the administration of our services, as well as capital. Typically, that capital is matched to purchase new vehicles as vehicles age out. And I'm going to talk a bit about that in just a second here. Whoops. So in 2023, there were 11 types of transportation services in Canyon County. We provided a total of 115,000 rides, cost $3.6 million total, or about $31 a ride. Your contribution to that on the service side was only 19 cents a ride. So pretty good deal for a lot of your community members who really need to be able to get around. So our budget request this year, and here's where I want to talk a little bit about the capital in particular. Not just you, but many of our members have not contributed all of what we've asked for a number of years. It's been the position of Valley Regional Transit to continue to provide services as much as we could despite those shortages. As you know, that means something had to get shorted. In the case of Canyon County, what typically has been getting shorted is the capital funding. And so, for instance, we have a facility not far from your DMV and other facilities out on the boulevard that has a roof that leaks, that has two of five heating air conditioning units out, that has electrical system that desperately needs some work. We're beginning to pay for it in utilities. We're using a lot of space heaters and fans and other things to make up for the heating units that are out and we can't find parts for. I have almost $4 million in federal match that we could spend to bring that facility up to the standard that we know that it needs to be. But in order to spend that money, we have to have local match because that's how the federal money works. Because VRT has been committed to not cutting services for quite some year, a lot of years, and because a lot of agencies have made a choice not to provide all of the funding that we asked for, what got shorted was that capital match. I've got a couple of ideas. I'm going to try to find some local private sector folks who would be interested in doing some sponsorships. And I will be working on those through the next 3 or 4 months. And what I'd like to do, we're not going to ask any more of you right now. This $72,000 is what we're asking. But what I'd like to do is have the opportunity to come back in the fall, let you know how successful I've been with those sponsorship opportunities, and have a discussion about whether or not there's an opportunity for some one-time funding so we could begin to make up this capital match if I can't find all of it through these private sector sponsorships. In the meantime, what we're asking for here is really pretty simple. We're asking that you provide this $72,000 that will begin to make up for the capital that we haven't had in the past, but more importantly, continue to pay for the services you have been paying for. And is there a slide that has the detail? Oh, here's the detail for you. So there's a general assessment. This one is calculated by population. This goes to the regional overhead to pay for the administrative expenses. There's a service assessment calculated by your share of miles serving your jurisdiction. That's up a little bit from last year because of the redesign we've done. There's a few more miles that are in county. And then capital assessment. And again, I mentioned that those are typically for rolling stock. What we've done this year, we have big buses in Canyon County. You see them. We also have a lot of smaller buses, and they do a lot of the specialty. And then we have the facility that I mentioned. The $7,000 that we're asking doesn't include anything for big buses or the facility. Those are the things I'm going to go try to find sponsorships for. What this will do is allow us to replace some of the smaller buses that have aged out and are, you know, we have one in service in Canyon County from 2002. It's 22-year-old bus at this point. Really does need to be replaced, for instance. So certainly in the past, you've not contributed the full amount. And I understand, I served on your side of the dais for a lot of years. I know how budgets are tough. But we really would ask that you consider funding this full amount this year so that we can begin to catch up on the capital needs that we've been putting off. We've eaten about all of the seed corn that we've got. I don't have much left. So, pretty soon, and I'm telling folks this year, if we don't get the full amount, we're gonna have to look at cutting services. There's just not much, there's nothing left to cut otherwise. So really appreciate how tough budgets are. And I think we're being reasonable. You guys have a fair share of the population inside these cities where most of these services are being provided. A lot of rides being provided, and your contribution to it is relatively inexpensive at this point. We'd ask you to up it just a little bit this next year if you could. So, you leverage federal funds if you do. Continue to provide these basic public transportation in the core areas. Support the on-demand and the fixed route, but especially those regional connections we think are so important. In this region, especially because of the growth, and then filling the gaps between the city boundaries. And with that, stand for any questions.
All right. Questions?
How many of these... Well, it looks like more than 1,900 unique individuals live outside of Nampa and Caldwell city limits.
I'm gonna let Kate answer that one.
Unfortunately, I can't answer that off the top of my head, but we can find out for you. Part of the way that we develop that data is that we look at who boards where, and most of our bus stops are not located out of city limits. And we don't, so that's how we track that data. We don't track it by person. So even if we did dissect that data, I'm not sure I don't think we have very many, maybe one or two bus stops that are outside of city limits. But I could check that and follow up for you.
The other thing we could do is count boardings and alightings that are near county facilities. And you guys have a fair number of county facilities that are nearby many of our stops. So if that would be valuable data, we'd be happy to provide that as well.
One of your last slides there had the assessment breakdown.
Can you shut the door?
Right there.
Do you have the actual formula available?
It's service hours within your service area. So in the case of Canyon County, it would be any of those fixed routes or on-demand services that are not inside a city limit, but in Canyon County.
What do you mean service hours? I don't see any reference to service.
So where we say calculated by a regional share of population, it's the regional share of population is for the general assessment. And it's just a calculation of all of our funding. In your case, it's only the population in Canyon County outside city limits.
Okay.
Yeah, even though all of Canyon County are your constituents, we only count in that assessment the ones that are outside city limits. And then the service assessment is your share of miles serving your jurisdiction based on, city limit boundaries or not.
So the miles are only outside of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the service assessment, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think it'd be nice to have those calculations.
Okay.
We'll ask for the details on the calculations.
Okay.
I would add we're also going live Monday with our new ERP system. Any of you who've been through that can appreciate how tough that is. It's our financial system. And the one that we're using now is about 35 years old and DOS-based. And so one of our challenges has been that everything we do has to be exported from that, put into an Excel sheet, and then analyzed through the Excel sheet. So we're really excited by the new system because I've already looked at the reporting functions on it, and what we'll be able to report is going to be a lot more detailed and a lot easier for us to get. But we will get you what we have today. By next year, we're really hoping to have a lot easier time getting that stuff for you.
Good. Yes, Greg?
Mr. I do have a question. Elaine, last year there was a 5-to-1 match based on.
So so on the capital especially, there's still a match. On services, it's a 50-50 match. Whatever local money we have, we can match equally with federal funding to provide the operations for the services. On the regional overhead and on the capital, it's a 20-80 match. And so, for instance, the Happy Day Transit Center that needs the repairs, we'll need to find about $600,000 in local match to be able to spend that money. I spent about, talked about, and get up to the $4 million. It'll be, spread out among all of the jurisdictions, and hopefully we can find a sponsorship that will take the edge off it. I just don't know at this point. But it is a 20-80 match. It really stretches your dollar.
Other questions?
I don't have any, Chairman.
No, Mr. Chairman.
How would it be helpful for you to have that information back, and do you want to set another meeting follow-up, or how do we want to deal with that?
Just a simple email would suffice.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
All right.
We'd be happy to come back after that email if there's questions.
Okay. All right. Clerk, do you have any? Okay. All right. Any other questions?
I don't have any. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And we'll
working with you. I continue to be ever more excited about the possibilities of public transportation in this region. As we grow, it's clear to me there's a latent demand that's not being served because we just haven't been able to provide enough service. And I'm committed to figuring out a way to get the funding, not necessarily from you. Right now, that's what the state statute me is to ask you for it, but committed to finding it so that we can fill that latent demand. I didn't mention, if you don't mind, if I could, the regional transportation authorities, of which we're one of two in the state, are one of only three political subdivisions in the state that don't have levy authority. One of the others is solid waste districts, and they have fee authority. The other is housing authorities, and they were never designed to have local match funding. So one of the things I've been thinking about is maybe it's time not to treat us special, but to treat us the same as everybody else. That'd be great.
Yes. Not budget related, but Elaine, thanks for coming. Because I have still one. Maybe two or three states in which the state does not send funding to the designated.
We're actually the only state left that doesn't provide any state funding for transit. And in addition to that, we're one of only two states that doesn't allow any local option fund for transit. So we're really the outlier in turn around the country. And, our statute says I'm able to accept voluntary contributions from agency members. That's really all it says about funding.
Has there been, just quick follow-up, I don't I didn't track legislation this past year, but with all the emphasis on spending money on mitigation, traffic mitigation, does the philosophy of traffic mitigation at all include mass transit?
It used to. It hasn't in Idaho for some time. I think that's one thing I'd like to begin the conversation about again, especially with the rail corridor. There's, I think, proven ability of good rapid rail to provide mitigation for congestion in ways that nothing else really can.
Okay, well, we'll look forward to those details and we'll figure the next step from there.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's consider ourselves adjourned.